Amen. Good evening, everyone. How's everyone doing tonight? Praise the Lord. Y'all sound like y'all just about ready for a nap on that food out there. Amen. Hey, I've got to do this. Pastor Mike gave a shout out to Sister Alicia's children. And then we began to get texts from people saying, where's my shout out? And so he started something here. So I have to say shout out to Sister Kelly. Shout out to Lance and his wife. Shout out to this one. Shout out to that one. But I better say shout out to Sister Bennett who's watching. She's not here with me today. I love you, honey. I'm behaving myself. And Alan Michael hasn't driven me crazy, so just know that, amen. And let me say shout out to his wife, too. And now we got all the shout out and out the way, we're going to shout in some just a little bit, amen. It is good to be here in the house of the Lord. Did this one go away, too? Praise the Lord, this thing fell smack out. Is that better?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hey, I like that. Praise the Lord. That y'all didn't hear all that shout out stuff? I can start it again, amen. You know, young Bosky, when he came up here, I was watching, and young Bosky said, I've never been here before, and I don't know. Y'all old Cobra guys, y'all need to tell me, when does my time start? Does it start when I start reading the Bible, or does it start when I stand up here? And they immediately gave him the note, when you stood up there, he stopped talking. Just turn your Bibles to, amen. Hey, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I was watching online, and Pastor Kenny was sitting up here. And when he was sitting up here, his pant leg went up. And you know they got this competition for the Ugly Sock Award. And he had some, and it translates over the camera. I mean, they were just colorful, ugly socks. So I said, I'm going to stand up here with him this time. And so I got me some ugly socks. I put them on now. I want y'all to get that in the camera. But the way to make the ugly socks work, I had a tie to match these, amen. And I just couldn't pull it off, amen. So, are you going to see it too? Praise the Lord. Hey, some of y'all looking at my leg. You better stop looking at me. So, again, it matches the flowers. Praise the Lord. At least it has something in common with something here. Amen. Hey, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 1. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you of the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas. I was hoping Brother Cephas would finally see the Lord. He was Yeah, some of y'all know him, amen. It went over your head. Get saved and you'll get it. And they received the Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed. Now, while you're standing, I want you to look at verse number 34, same place. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Father, we love you and thank you today for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to come to this awesome church, Lord, and stand behind this sacred desk, Lord, to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus in praise and celebration with the saints of the living God. Thank you, Father, for the movement and the ministry that is COVID, Lord, that allowed churches to be planted around the United States, Lord, and some even reaching into the outermost parts of the world. And I praise you and thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be a part of this. But, Lord, nothing is worth anything without the gospel of grace. So I ask you, Lord, to intervene in my heart. Help me to say the things I need to say so I could be the person I need to be, the spokesman I need to be, Lord, that your word might go forth and, Lord, challenge hearts and minds and souls. In order for that to happen, Lord, I do pray, Father, that you empty me of self, forgive me of sin, fill me with your spirit, that I might elevate my Savior. That when it's all said and done, Father, you might get the glory. Lord, I don't know how your word's going to affect people, but you promised that it will not come back to you void. So I pray, Father, that it touches the hearts, the minds, the lives, the families, the nations, that you would have it to do. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray, and for his sake we do ask, amen, amen. And amen. You may be seated this morning, this evening, folks. In the word of God here, the book of 1 Corinthians, it got written because a church that was planted at Corinth by the Apostle Paul, he went away to start another church, one of the greater missionaries, the greatest missionaries that ever lived, to start another church. And while he was away going to Ephesus to start another church, a young preacher by the name of Apollos went into Corinth. And Apollos was a young, brash guy, but he didn't know everything. He wasn't highly trained like he needed to be. And so later on, Priscilla and Aquila helped train him up and bring him up a little better, straighten out some of his doctrinal foibles, amen. But by the time he left Corinth, challenges were in the church. A group of people began to be divided amongst themselves. And as they began to be divided amongst themselves, one would say, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas. And they began to pick camps, so to speak. Amen. Form allegiances with one another. And in their picking of camps and forming of allegiances, what they were doing was actually causing turmoil and chaos in the church. So the church stopped being the church and just began to be a social club in which everybody's agenda was being met by the congregation of the people that were there. And so the rich were being accommodated. The poor were being isolated. There was drunkards in there. There were effeminates in places. People were in offices that they should not have been. They were out of place and out of character in the things of God. And when that happened, the gospel ceased to be the main thing. And when the gospel ceased to be the main thing, the church just began to be the worldly recognized entity that everybody wanted to be a part of, but nobody wanted to take any responsibility for. And as a result of that, Paul wrote this letter and chewed them slam out. He chewed them slam out. There is not one chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians where he said something really good about them. Every single chapter he's rebuking them from the time he said, brethren, and then he took off into them. He said a childishness had begun to embrace the church and that people were looking for these showy things. They wanted to have a flamboyancy about the ministry and at the expense of the gospel going out and people getting saved. And so Paul said, and he began to talk about his life and his ministry, and he said, there's some liberties that I could have taken. There's some things that I could not, that I could have done. There's some areas that I could have went in, but I chose not to for the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. I limited my liberty. I stayed away from things. And over there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, where the theme verse came from, for the gospel's sake, I was looking around it, and I found out that there were people out there, even different translations, that wanted to change it around. Instead of saying, for the gospel's sake, they wanted to say, for the sake of the gospel. But it's not the same, because for the gospel's sake, the gospel is the possessive in this thing here. It belongs to the cause of Christ, and for the movement of the things of God, to see souls reached, to see lives changed for the glory of God. But when you take the gospel out of the church, you just have a glorified country club. And Paul said, I'm not going to have any of that. And so he wrote to that church and he began to blow them out the water. I want you to turn to chapter number 8 for a moment, part of the introduction here. And I want you to see something that Paul said about their lives and some of the things that they were doing. And I need you to turn fast because I'm going to talk fast. And so if you get there fast enough, we'll meet there at the same time. In chapter number 8 and verse number 9, he says this. He said, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours. You know, I don't know what's going on here. There's a new thing. There's a new job. This liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. This liberty of yours. Of course, in verse number 15, he said, I speak this to your shame. This liberty of yours. He comes over there in chapter number 9 and verse number 16. He said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And by the way, it's amazing how many messages you can listen to where the gospel is void. And there should never be one message that is preached where the gospel is void. Not one. Not one. Because everything is about the gospel, the good news that Jesus came, the sacrifice was made, and it was available to all men. But now we're preaching social doctrine, get along doctrine. And the gospel is being abandoned. And we wonder why the church is dying. We wonder why that young people are not encouraged. Older folks, we got encouraged because somebody preached us the gospel. The folks who used to preach in such a way and such a dynamic that people were holding on to the pillars in the church to keep from sliding into hell. When a preacher preached the message, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And he began to show the dire straits that they were in. But then he gave them the good news, the gospel. And folks were getting saved by the droves. The gospel calls people to get down on their knees and pray. It caused people to get up out of their seat and go. The gospel, to take it where it needed to go. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And because of the power of it, he said, I am a debtor. And you can't pay the debt of love. Hey, how can you pay back what Jesus did for you if you're saved here today? Unless you've been, the gospel was given in vain. And so squabbles and things began to brew in this church. And the gospel began to be neglected. Look also, continue looking at verse number, chapter 9 with me. He said, for if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, he said, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. I'm commanded, I'm commissioned. It's my job to put it out there. Look at verse number 18. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in what? The gospel. They got away from it. The church got away from it. I respect what was said earlier about the generation reaching the generation, but I still win souls, and I still lead young people to Christ. Because I take a time to give them something that they need, the gospel. The Jonathan Goforth, it is told about him that when he first went to the mission field over there in China, that when he went into that mission field, that the missionary that was already there told Jonathan, he told him, hey, look, don't worry about trying to introduce them to Christ right away, because they may not get it. Just preach on the evilness of their gods and the things that tear down the gods that they're worshiping. And he said, never, never, never. Later on, the people came back there and they said, hey, how is it that you were able to reach some of these people? How was it that you were able to get through? He said, I just gave them the gospel. Hey, every last one of you who are saved here today, you didn't get saved because the music program was good. You didn't get saved because the pews were nice and the building was beautiful. You got saved because somebody gave you the gospel. And that gospel that they gave you, you received it, you believed it, you accepted it, you trusted Christ. And here you are now as the maniac of Gadara sitting here clothed and in your right mind. If you haven't believed in vain. We're offering all kinds of alternatives to the gospel and all kinds of ways to get them to respond to the gospel without actually giving them the gospel. Without actually giving them the gospel. There was a preacher out there, a bishop out there who wrote a book for the gospel's sake. And here's something that he said. He said, the integrity of the gospel must be protected and the message defended. This book deals with the hot topics that are increasingly the object of contention as the day of the Lord approaches. The look and effect of the church is changing in this age. Everything we have ever known and believed in Christendom is being questioned and re-examined as believers demand a more user-friendly salvation. In some cases, an objective spiritual interpretation is long overdue. User-friendly. This isn't an app. This isn't something you're going to slide on your tablet and get saved as a result of it. It doesn't need to be user-friendly. It just needs to be used. And if you just give them the gospel, you'll make a difference in people's lives. So as Paul in chapter number 15 is giving them the gospel. And by the way, I wrote a couple of books. I wrote a book about chapter number 12, 13, and 14 that said, These Dumb Idols. And it dealt with the people who were supposedly gotten saved, but they're still doing the same old junk. And they're elevating the junk that they used to do. And he said, the ignorance there. Look at chapter number 12, verse 1, and you'll see what I mean. He said, now concerning spiritual brethren, or spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know how that ye were Gentiles, past tense, carried away unto these dumb idols, present tense, even as you were led, past tense. He said, the junk you're doing right now that you're thinking is spiritual is the same junk that you did before you even got saved. And in doing so, he said, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. You're taking the blood, you're taking the power of the gospel, and you're subjugating it to the day and age in which we live. And so the gospel in our times that we're living in now seems to have lost some of its luster and its relevance. But last time I heard Pastor Mike, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he's the same yesterday, his word never changes, and not one jot, not one tittle, who are we to change it and modify it to fit the sinful conditions of the age in which we live? Last time I checked, if you give them to them straight, they might accept it straight. If you water it down, they're going to want another ice cube to go with it. So let's just go over there in chapter number 15. And I want you to see what Paul had to say as he was putting these things down here. By the way, I did write a sequel to that book. These Dumb Idols. The sequel was, If the Foundations Be Destroyed. And by the time Paul got finished with this church over here in 1 Corinthians, that church had started getting themselves back on center. And they kind of stopped. And they started realizing, we don't know what to do or how to do and how to get things that we've embarrassed God. And I don't know if God's ever going to use us. And he spent 7 chapters reestablishing them. And a marvelous message that Pastor Baldwin has preached. When he talked about it, caused them to have a godly sorrow. When they finally realized how they had huckstered the gospel in such a way to reach a generation that really wasn't being reached, they was being placated. And they started getting that thing together. You worry about why we don't see change? Maybe we don't see change because they haven't changed. Amen. Maybe it's because the millennial that we live now is the millennial they lived then. Maybe that's why we don't see change, because the gospel is no longer the motive by which we minister. Missions are not missions without the gospel. What are you taking to them? Our communities will not change without the gospel. What are you giving it to them? And if the gospel is forsaken because squabbling is going on, what a travesty of God. What a travesty of God. Because people are dying and going to a devil's hell. And like he said, I speak this to your shame. To your shame. And hopefully we're shamed enough to get right with God, to get the gospel back where it needs to be, the main thing, and go out there and win souls and see lives changed by showing them an example of what thus saith the Lord. So he comes over there, and as he's defending this premise, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, what? The gospel. Boy, I tell you what's the truth. He got bold. He got brash. His chest stuck out. He said up there, I'm declaring to you the very thing that you need and the very thing that saved you and the very thing you abandoned. The very thing you abandoned. The theme announced this year, like I said, is a reflection of the statement of the other bishop, how that we somehow have diverted the preeminence of the gospel for a user-friendly salvation. By the way, people are going to hell. There's nothing friendly about that at all. Judgment is coming, and when Christ comes, he's not coming back as a baby in a manger. He's not coming back out of the grave as the resurrected. He's coming back as a warrior whose vestment is dipped in blood. He's not coming back to placate anybody. As a matter of fact, one preacher said it, Jesus is coming back, and boy, is he mad. He's going to come back and with his, and by the way, I pray that like me, you are coming back with him. Because I don't know anybody in here saved but me. And by the way, you say amen if you don't say amen. I know I'm saved, and I don't know if you're saved. Maybe how some of us are acting. I don't know if you're saved, but I know I'm saved, and I'm on my way to heaven. And when he comes back riding on his horse, he said, 10,000s of his saints, I'm coming with him. I wonder if I'm going to come back pointing, get him! Get him! He was mean to me! Get him! It's only 7 years ago. He was mean to me. And get him, Lord! Tear him down! Wee-haw! I wonder if I'm going to be one of them. I don't know if I'm going to be one of them or not, but praise the Lord, I'm coming back with him. But I ain't going to have to do anything because he's going to slay them with the sword of his mouth. He's going to speak their annihilation. Steps on the top. His foot touches the mouth of olives, and the thing splits asunder. I don't care what age you grew up in. That's scary. That's a scary prospect. And if you say you're saved and you say you got friends and you're not telling them about the gospel, you're lying to yourself and you're lying to them. Because that is their demise. That is their end. And it can come at any moment. If you haven't seen or understood the signs of the time, you need to read your Bible and look at this world. Because we are at the precipice. It is even at the door. And we're playing placators. He said, I'm declaring unto you. Now, let me give you a few things here. I'll give you a shorter outline for you. He's going to talk about the truth, which is indisputable. He's going to talk about the trial, which is dealing with indispensable faith. And the triumph, which is an irresistible force. Now that you got it, figure out where it plugs in with the rest of the message. It'll go in someplace. It'll fit in someplace. Just put it down there and say, well, he used all these scriptures and they go someplace. You come down here and he starts dealing with the first thing he had to deal with. The first thing that you got. The first thing I got. In verses 1 and 2, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand. That truth that he put out there. And that's dealing with the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. We stop preaching the gospel. We suggest the gospel every now and then. We offer the gospel just a little bit. but preaching the good news. Preaching the good news seems to take a secondary seat because of the other subjects and messages that we have been encouraged to give. You ever noticed that people never change except for the gospel? I mean, you can preach all kinds of good things. They have all kinds of programs to give good news and good stuff, and people don't change. We got all kinds of reform programs and people don't change. We got penal systems to lock them up, chain them up, reprogram them, and people don't change. But when the gospel hits a soul, the preaching of the gospel. Paul said, as the disciple preacher, he said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. You folks at Corinth, you folks in Georgia, you folks in Belgium, you folks in Brazil, you folks wherever you go, if you're not teaching and giving them the gospel, why would you ever expect a change? You think people going to fall over and change because you showed up? I found out how foolish that was. I showed up in a lot of places and they didn't even know me. And once they found out who I was, they cared even less. But I could go inconspicuously to a grocery store, pick with a cashier for a few moments about an item there, offer her the gospel or him the gospel at the cash register, and see if people get saved. I don't have to tell them what title I am. I don't have to tell them what church I go to. I don't have to tell them anything. I just have to tell them, hey, if you was to die right now, do you know? Do you know? If I can't stay there long enough, I can slide a track to them. Because when people are going to hell, they don't care what church you go to. When they realize they're going to hell, they don't care what your color is or where your background is from. They don't care about your education. They're not going to ask you what college you went to. It used to burn me up. I go over there preaching the gospel, people getting saved, and folks say, well, what school did you go to? I said, I didn't go to any school. I learned at the feet of my pastor. They turned me off like I just told them I had halitosis and I was spreading. But you give somebody the gospel, they don't care about that stuff. They care about the sin. I've seen them bow their heads in the street. I've seen them kneel down. I've seen them do all of these things because somebody had enough God in them to give them the gospel which can save a sinner and change a soul. And he said, we need to put away all the foolishness and all the new age junk for the gospel's sake. And let's just get back out there. Hey, folks, get a handful of tracts. By the way, do something with the tract, too. Read it. It may stir your soul. Is that what I did? Read it. Memorize it. Know what it's like to show somebody. Give them the gospel that the Romans wrote. And by the way, you don't have to take them to Rome. I've led Jewish folks by the Jews in the Old Testament. I've led Muslims to the Lord. Love them. They don't want any parts of the gospel because of the church that's propagating it. Who's saying it and not living it. The preaching of the gospel. Not just the sight of the preaching, but the submission to the preacher. He said, which ye also received. How many of y'all are saved here today? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I want to see all the saved people. Are you unsaved people? I'm going to preach to you in a minute so you can get saved. You saved people, I'm going to preach to you because you are saved. Paul is preaching to people that he's got unsaved people in that group that they let be in leadership positions in that church. They had foolishness going on there. And by the way, it changed your nature back to what it needs to be. Because he said, effeminate's got right. Don't tell me that this is just how it is and we got to live with it. We don't have to live with it. Give them the gospel and let God change them. And don't tell me it doesn't work if you didn't give it. Well, I tried that. You don't try God. You live God. You do God. But you don't try God. He's not part of your taste testing. Well, I tried God yesterday. And he was pretty tasty. He's not a snack. And he's not an hors d'oeuvre in the church. He's the main course. And a church that doesn't serve the main course. Now, people join churches and nobody ever asked them if they were saved. People come to me and say, yeah, I'm a member of such and such a church. I said, well, if you die right now, do you know where you would go? Nobody's ever asked me that. What questions are they asking you? Paul had to ask them when he went to Ephesus, what then were you baptized? We haven't even so much as heard of any Holy Ghost. Well, under what then were you baptized? What do you got going? You're out here preaching, proclaiming, and you ain't got no foundation to what you're doing. What is this foolishness we got going on? The preaching of the gospel. He said, it's the sight of the preaching, the submission to the preaching. He said, you received it. He said, which you received and wherein you stand. In verse number 2, he said, by which also ye are what? Saved. Now, before I try and start making the church better, I better make sure that the church is saved. Because there ain't no sense in reforming wicked worldly people and trying to get them to conform. Matter of fact, the Bible tells me, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Not very many transformations happening anymore. Not many metamorphoses in life where a cocoon is raveled around somebody by the grace of God and mercy, and that person emerges a beautiful flying butterfly with colors and vibrancy in their life. It's not many of that happening anymore because we've placated, we've acquiesced to the age. It's easier to just say, let it go. It's hard. It's hard to say no. The priority of the gospel. Look down here from the preaching of the gospel to the priority of the gospel. Look at verse number 3. He said, for I delivered unto you, what's that word? First of all, that which I also received. There's a priority in the gospel. And it must have the preeminence. First place. I gave you first of all. And by the way, I'm not giving you something that somebody told me or that I read someplace else. I'm giving to you first of all that which I also received. You know, I got saved in the field in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, back in April of 1977. And when I got saved in that field, I was on my way. I hog. Head hog and whatever you want to do. Head long, I've been down Georgia too much. And headlong into Jehovah's Witness. And it didn't take anything but the gospel. I began to question. And the guy opened the Bible and gave the gospel answers to the question. And you know what? I have no trouble when I witness to many times Jehovah's Witnesses leading them to the Lord. Because I was able to confront them with the very questions that confronted me. And show them the very gospel that I first of all received. It's easy to proclaim that which you already have. First of all. That which I also received. What did you receive that you didn't know before? That Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures. The good news is the sacrifice, the offering, the anointed one has come. The greater news is that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and rose again. What? According to the scriptures. The particulars in these things here. Verse number 4. When you talk about those things, about the gospel, how it breaks people's lives, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, how it makes a difference. And then he deals with the prescribing of it. What are you talking about? This is not according to the church, my church. This is not according to a denomination. This is not according to a movement. This is according to the scriptures. And nothing we should be doing should be divorced from the scripture. Because anything that is becomes a parachurch activity. God is through the word of God. His word, he said, I put it above my name. His word. Not one jot, not one tittle. I don't care how the generation changes. Amen. It ain't going to change. Not one part. I don't care how the church. You know, they've been trying to change this book for centuries. And you know what? Like God did Balaam, he just won't let them get it wrong. They fooled around there, and even in their raggedy translations, managed to get the gospel in there. And all that foolish junk, the NIV, ASV, MOUSA, all that junk they got out there. God managed to get the gospel in there, so if they even if they read that junk, the gospel still pops out. Unbelievable. They're trying to stomp it out. They're trying to stomp it out, and we won't put it out. So if they stomp it out, or if we don't put it out, the results are the same. People aren't getting saved. Churches are dying by the droves. The harvest is past. Summer is ended. And we're not saved. And that's the whole purpose of the gospel. The priority of the gospel, particulars of the gospel, the prescribing of the gospel according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures. And by the way, you'll answer anybody's questions if you know your Bible. Because I guarantee you all the answers to life's questions are in the Bible. And it's for all ages. Amen. It's for all ages. The Bible is timeless. You know, God knew about the knowledge and the increase of knowledge and the speed in which it was going in the Old Testament. It talked about getting the rapid transportation systems in the Old Testament. If you read part of the Old Testament, it gives you some scary events that make it look like somebody set off a nuclear bomb with their eyes melting away in their sockets and their tongues melting away. I mean, it gives you all kinds of stuff in there. If you're not careful, it's scary. It told you about Russia, China, and the kings of the South. And we worry about what President Trump going to do. Don't worry about him. You better worry about the kings of the North, the kings of the East, and the kings of the South. Because God told you. We're worried about the economy. He already told you in Revelation chapter number 18 that economic Babylon is going to be destroyed. Read your Bible. Religious Babylon in chapter number 17, economic Babylon in chapter number 18, and political Babylon in chapter number 19. Read your Bible. God's not behind the times. God is so far ahead of this game. God is so far ahead of this thought. God is so far ahead of this time. You and I, if we sped up 1,000 years, couldn't catch up. But you don't give them this. We give them a societal band-aid. We say, oh, you got a boo-boo. You feel don't hold your little thumb. Oh, it's so bad. Oh, let me kiss it. Get them some old-fashioned gospel iodine. Ah, that's burning. Yeah, it's getting the poison out. Blow on it a little bit. Get some Holy Spirit. It's done turn red. Nothing like the blood. Worried about people. No more tears. What if Jesus wept? You better get your dry eyes moving. He that goeth forth sowing in tears. So doubtless coming again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. How's he going to do that? The gospel. The gospel gets it done. Hey, folks. The proof of the gospel. Look at verse number 5. He was seen of Cephas. Then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also. Hey, Paul, I hate to interject, but he wasn't last of all seen of you, because he was seen of me. He seen me when I was in that field in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He seen me when he used Brother Rogers to take that old-fashioned, hardback Gideon Bible and open it up and show me the Lord Jesus. He was seen of me when I trusted him as my Savior. He was seen of me when I surrendered to preach the gospel. He was seen of me also. High school dropout. Destined to be a statistic. Not meet to be called a preacher. But I labored. A labor. We're trying to get people into the labor. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he might send forth labor. Because when grace gets you, when you're that far down, I labored more abundantly than they all. Not taking reward, not for filthy lucre. I labored. I pay to play. I pay to play. We're not able to do this. We're not able to do that. I'm not in it for this and I'm not in it for that. Hey, folks, the proof of the gospel. Man, I'm like you, Brother Clint. I got all of these notes here, but I don't care about the notes because I'm not here to preach the notes. I'm here to let them preach me just a little bit. Make sure I stay on course. Hey, folks, as he's dealing with the gospel, the proof of the gospel, Paul's witness, the people out there showing what God has done. Amen. Let me give you one more as we go down there. He starts dealing with the proselytes. Now let's just read and then we'll get you out of here. He said, for I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not made to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. I remember the days when I used to say the Bible was written by man. We got folks now who question the authenticity of the Bible. Because they're not seeing gospel, the gospel changed lives anymore. So it becomes an irrelevant book. Insignificant in the lives of the most intelligent people. No wonder the Bible says not many wise. Not many mighty, not many noble. Because to them, the gospel seems to be beneath them. But to us who are saved, he says, the power of God. It's the power of God. The power of God. And by the way, you're looking for power, trying to generate power when you have no power. But after that the gospel has come upon you, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what's the main thing? Ye shall be witnesses. You're willing and ready to be martyred for the cause of Christ. Well, we're trying to get people motivated. Motivated, God empowered them. If God can't motivate them, you can't. The only thing I need to do is guide them and direct them. But I need to tell somebody about the Lord. You sure do. Let me show you who you could tell. You see that person over there, by the way, we'll send a missionary around the world, but won't send a Christian across the street. And that's not just black America. It's white America too. Sometimes we just, what's that, brother? Oh, a napkin. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You can hold on to that for a moment. I get it. I'm afraid you used it first. You know? Got to examine those things. Thank you, Brother John. Hey, folks. He comes down here, and I want you to look down here at verse number 7. He said, therefore, whether it were I or they... Because they talk about Cephas, they talked about Apollos, they talked about all the foolishness that started because they began to pick sides and pick camps. And inside the church, they began to divide themselves and the ministry went on a standstill, went on a hiatus. Nobody was reaching souls. He said, whether it was I or they. He said, watch this. So we, what? Preach. And so ye, what? Believed. Brother Mike one time came down to a church, and he preached the message. It had 3 points. I still remember it. We preach Christ. Remember it. We preach Christ. Point number one. We preach Christ. Point number two. We preach Christ. Point number three. Hey, find me a better, more complete outline than that.
Go ahead and get your lexicon, get your thesauruses out, get all that stuff out, and find me a better, stronger, more doctrinal message than that that can win souls and lead people to Christ. We preach Christ. Find me a better one. If we're not careful, we're sitting, trying to stroke intellects. Because the people today are smarter. You're not smarter. You're not smarter. There's nothing new under the sun. They had knowledge back then. They have forgotten knowledge that you don't have yet. We still don't know how they built the pyramids. Some of y'all still think aliens did it. We still don't know about some of the greatest wonders in the world. And we think we're smart. Well, let me give you the gospel's sake. In Romans chapter number 1, after Paul got finished talking to him, he said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And what they did when they became fools, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God and made it like unto an image of man, four-footed beast, creeping things. Hey, folks, the gospel is not that difficult. It hasn't changed. It doesn't need to be updated. You could put it on a digital tablet. You could put it on a thumb drive. You could put it on a projection screen. You could put it anywhere you want to because it's still the same. And, folks, if we ever want the church, if we ever want black America, white America, the world, if we ever want COVID, if we want any of those things to ever turn around, we better get back to the gospel. Church has got started because of the gospel. If you're not going to do it for the gospel's sake, then shut her down. The gospel's sake. People are dying. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. We're so busy planning and politicking and all that stuff that we're not getting the gospel. Shame on us. We're still going to have to give account. Let's stand. The altar is available and open for as many as want to dedicate their lives to the gospels for the gospel's sake. We need volunteer gospel workers to get the good news out to a bad world situation. I don't care about your age. I don't care about your background. I don't care about any of those things. I care more that you give people the gospel. I've seen people get saved on basketball courts. I've seen people get saved in restaurants. I've seen people get saved on street corners. I've seen people that I didn't even want to go to. I had to get a dare given to me before I would even go to these people and talk to them. I said, there's no way they'll listen. There's no way they'll give in because those folks are like this here. And when I went and talked to them, they got saved. And actually said to me, if somebody like you had come along earlier, maybe we might not have been in trouble like we are. A brother who says, just come over here and start a church in Philadelphia. We trust you. I trust you to give my heart to Jesus because you have no ulterior motives. Yeah. I'm not in it for your money. I'm not in it for your merchandise. I'm not in it for that. I'm in it for you. For the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. for the gospel's sake. When they finally got right after chapter number 7 of 2 Corinthians, Paul put them back on the missions trail. And they were willing and ready to give again. They were willing and ready to go. Sacrificial giving. They gave themselves. They gave themselves back over to the gospel. And the message moved forward. Paul said, Apollos, I want you to come back with me so we can straighten this out. Apollos didn't want to come. I want him to be here and let him see that we're on one sheet of music. We're all in the unity of the faith. We're going forth as one body. Apollos didn't want to come. But it didn't stop Paul from preaching the gospel. Didn't stop him. Father, you know our hearts today. You know our lives. If we're not going to surrender to the gospel, then Lord, if the truth be known, we haven't surrendered at all. The gospel is more than a track. It's a life. It's more than a feeling. It's the faith that we're supposed to earnestly contend for. Give them the gospel and you can change a nation. America was formed because of the gospel's faith. America can be transformed because of the gospel's faith. Lord, you know our hearts. Take charge of us.